Thrilled to welcome in our next guest. He is fresh off a trip to Medina. He is the assistant Ryder Cup captain, a three-time winner on the PGA Tour, playing the Champions Tour on occasion these days. Too busy for that right now. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we had the same college coach. But we'll get to that in a moment. Welcome Mike Hulbert to the show. Mike, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great, John. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm just back from watching some of your team play up at the BMW this week, and looks like a lot of those boys are rounding into form nicely.
Yeah, they sure are. We've been obviously keeping a close eye on them, with the ticks going on last week, and very, very pleased with those. And then there was actually, I was up at Medina today. I'm still in Chicago, but three of the guys came over last night and went around today. Who played? Keegan Bradley and Jason Duffner and drawing a blank, but somebody else. And Brent Snedeker. They all came out today, and David and I went around with them, and it was great. And they missed a beat. They're looking sharp.
Don't those guys know they need a rest?
No, as a matter of fact, we had a long chat last night. I mean, Brent, I think 8 weeks in a row he played. And so he's got a break for the next, 5 days, 6 days. But he's ready to go. The break doesn't bother him. He wanted so badly to make the team, and he felt like in order to do that, he had to play. And he might have been the only one wants to play there at Greensboro, but, I think that propelled him for his weeks after that for his good play, and then he's playing fantastic, so.
Yeah, he is. Talk about, I said on Monday and Tuesday before the picks were made that obviously there were still a lot of ways that you guys could go, but the picks were either going to be right or more right. There weren't any wrong picks that you guys could have made. Did that make it tougher for you and Davis and Freddie and all those involved in trying to narrow it down to four when you had such a big pool to choose from?
It did. I tried to tell us all along that, there wasn't any, they were all right picks. They were all correct picks. And, don't worry about what, you're going to hear after the fact or even at the news conference. But that was the thing. We tried extremely hard to get a Hunter Mahan on the team or a Rick Fowler or a Bo Van Pelt. Just go down to it, and we needed one more spot. We needed one more spot because everybody had played so well. And there was so many, and even though we had, all along Davis wanted some veterans on the team, and with Furyk available, Stricker available, and by all means, did they play their way into those positions? We felt like they did, and so those were they weren't locks by any means, but their percentages were higher than the other guys.
And right, then, and
new form, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, how about Nick Watney winning Barclays? Did that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that kind of threw a wrench in your works too, didn't it?
No doubt about it. I mean, we even talked about it on that Monday. We're still looking and say, what if Nick Watney wins? Or what if Bill Haas wins? Or what if Ricky Fowler wins? Or what if Hunter shoots 60 on Sunday? Monday? Or what if Ricky Fowler shoots 60? I mean, there was the tool bag was all wide open, and some wrenches were already thrown out. And but you know what? I'll give these guys, talk about true professionals and true men. I mean, they all handled it great. They all handled it great. I wasn't in on calls. Davis was the guy. They were tough and anything he had to do, he said. So, because they're all friends, and he all wanted them on the team, but we just, this is what we came up with.
We're obviously talking to Mike Hulbert. He's one of the assistant captains. You were at Medina today. Obviously, it's been pretty well chronicled, the tough summer they had at Medina in terms of growing grass. I know they've sodded a lot over the last few months. How's it looking now? How's it coming in?
It's looking really good, really good. I came up yesterday afternoon, went around, and then the boys came in last night, but and then went around this morning. But they've really, Curtis, I don't know his last name, the superintendent, has done a tremendous job. They've had the course closed now for almost 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Which, as you know, it doesn't matter what course you close. You close a course for 3 weeks, or at least 2.5 weeks, and things are going to heat. They did a major aerification and grow-in on the fairways, which they were having some problems. But I tell you what, you could literally, you could start this event in 2 days. I mean, everything is looking really, really good. Greens are really perfect. Surrounding area is perfect, so no complaints whatsoever. And I think both Davis and I were pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, it was so well chronicled, but you knew that once it started to cool off a little bit, that they'd be able to do a lot, make a lot of progress. Apparently, they're going to be, and they still have 2.5 weeks. I mean, that's the beauty of it.
Right.
2.5 weeks sounds like a long time, but I would imagine you guys are going to be quite busy over that time. Tell us what you have in store. In preparation for what's going to be the biggest event in golf in a long, long time.
Well, you know, we're in constant contact with the boys, but I mean, it was music to. We had dinner with them last Wednesday, I believe, up at Indianapolis, and that was fantastic. And then that night, the three or four of them wanted to come up and play today. So you know, David says, "Oh, that's great." So. That's when we met them up there. We met three of them, and I believe, I'm not sure, I believe there's going to be a handful of some of the other guys possibly coming up this weekend before the Tour Championship. So, you know, which is great. I mean, you know, everybody's seen the golf course now because most of the guys that played today, you know, haven't seen it before, right. All three of them. And I believe the other guys have. But anyways, you know, it's constantly just keeping an eye. And I know in the back of their minds, even though they got a huge tournament coming up, I mean, huge week coming up next week, because there's a number of guys that have a chance to win the FedEx Cup, which is gigantic. But they were, you know, the wheels are turning. We'll probably meet them back up there the weekend of the Tour Championship and then go up, you know, sprinkle up on probably Sunday evening, Sunday afternoon, if possible, and be ready to go. But, you know, you still got to, you know, just because you're there on Sunday or even Monday morning, you know, you still got to pace yourself. And we got to kind of, you know, they're like a bunch of cage animals. We got to keep them back a little bit. And, you know, golf doesn't start till Friday. So hopefully, you know, they know, they understand that. But we really like the group of guys we have. I mean, wow. Forget about the paper. I mean, these guys are fantastic and really, geez, they're just, I mean, we got 12 rock-solid players.
I completely agree with you. I think that you have 12 rock-solid players going against 12 rock-solid players, and I don't think anybody's losing sight of that either. They know how well Rory's playing, how well Lee Westwood's playing, how well Nicholas Kolsarts is playing. I mean, I'm sure that they're ready to – go out there and get in the midst of, you know, this great battle.
Right. And it's going to be like a, you know, a good prize. I mean, a good heavyweight fight, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's not going to go in four. It's not going to be over with in four rounds. It's going to go the distance. And, you know, we're going to hopefully go toe to toe with them and hopefully get on the good end of it. And, we, you know, everybody's looking really good, feeling really good, and between Davis, myself, and Freddie and Slew and Herplank, you know, we're not gonna we're going to let them know what's going on. We're not going to pull any quick ones, you know, with, you know, half or before and say, oh, by the way, you're pairing up with this guy, you know, go out and get him. Hopefully we'll have all that in, you know, different scenarios ready for him. So, and, you know, don't be, you know, and the hardest part, and we've been talking about it for the last few days, is the hardest part is sitting four guys per session.
Right.
I mean, you know, this isn't President's Cup where everybody plays, you know, but we got 12, I don't know, it seems like they're all in the top 20 in the world rankings. And, you know, we got to sit four of them.
And,
you know, somehow we got to mix and match. And by all means, we want guys to be playing, you know, at least a little bit each day. So we'll see if we can pull that off.
Well, and they also have 12 healthy guys right now, which isn't always the case, you know.
No.
A lot of times you get somebody banged up, and they're a logical person to sit. You guys have 12 healthy guys.
Yeah, and that's – and, you know, and by no means, I mean, we're not trying to hide anybody. You know, we had – you know, we were with Keegan all day, and he says, if you need me to, I'll go all five. You know, he's like – he's like walking above the ground right now. And he, you know, it's one of those. But then he'll say, you know, I'll play with anybody. I'll play all five and I'll do whatever you want me to do. If you want me to sit a couple afternoons or a day, fine. I'm all for it. You know, everybody gets it. Everybody gets it. And, you know, we got a nice mix of veterans. We got a nice mix of rookies. We got a nice mix of younger guys, so you know it's going to be unbelievable. I mean, you can't believe how the golf course is coming around so nice. They've got 46 acres of tent or what sky boxes. The superintendent told me that yesterday. I mean, they're already up. They're already ready to go, and it's going to be phenomenal. The only thing that hasn't been put up yet is the ropes. And
wow.
All I know is come Tuesday, there's going to be about 50,000 people going bananas.
I read today, I had not heard about this. There's apparently like a celebrity former captain's exhibition going
on that week.
What is that all about?
Ryder Cup thing. They call, you know, I guess they've had this. They call some past Ryder Cup captains. I know Curtis is playing. I'm sure Azinger's playing on Tuesday. Something's going on Tuesday. And then they have, like, the Junior Ryder Cup people. It's kind of a cool little event. And, you know, that's about all I know. But they're, it's definitely happening. And, good, that'll break up our practice a little bit, too. You know, that'll keep the guys from being out there all day. Gosh, I can't wait. And, you know, it's going to be here before you know it. I keep saying, oh, we're 5 weeks or 6 weeks away. Next thing you know, I'm going to be jumping on a plane, meeting them up in Atlanta and going. I mean, these guys are so, they're geared up, but they're confident. They're confident.
Confident,
and then, you know, it's nice to see Phil playing playing like we know Phil can play. And, you know, Tiger, you don't need to say anything about him. He's been fantastic. And, I just love our team. I love our team. And great venue. Probably going to be down as one of the greatest venues. We're on our home soil. What a great city in Chicago. I hope you're going to be there, aren't you?
I will absolutely be there. I will absolutely be there. I never was good enough to make it to the majors or a Ryder Cup team as a player, but as a broadcaster, I'm on all the teams, which is a lot of fun.
Good.
Hey, I want to know you personally, and we're talking to Mike Hulbert. What has it meant to you and your excitement and enthusiasm for the game to be a part of this whole process?
Well, it's the best. It's the best. I mean, and I was an assistant with Curtis in 02 over at the Belfry. I was the only assistant. That was fantastic. I mean, it was literally out of control. Fantastic. I mean, this one going about, you know, it's been the coolest thing is, I mean, probably, you know, Davis and I are best friends. Everybody kind of knows it. But, you know, Davis has been bouncing stuff off me for weeks. And, I mean, that's been so cool. And, I mean, we've had a couple dinners with everybody on the team. And we've had, you know, and the guys playing. And, I mean, gosh darn it. I mean, they're acting like they've known me for 30 years. I mean, the young guys. I mean, it's fantastic. I don't know if you can call it respect. You can call it whatever you want to. But, I mean, believe me, that makes you feel really good inside. I mean, it's. I mean, all the way from Tiger Phil down to Keegan Bradley and Webb Simpson and Bubba. It's guys that, you know, they're definitely a different era. And I haven't played much golf with them. Matter of fact, I've played a little bit with Duff, but I haven't played with Webb. I haven't played with Bubba. Let's see. Maybe Sneds. No, I think just Webb and Bubba, to tell you the truth. But all the other guys, and Keegan I haven't played with either. But, I mean, they acted like we've been buddies forever. So that's the coolest thing. And Davis is like, I mean, like I was the only one going up there with him when he made his picks. We had a blast up there in New York. It was nice. It was great. I mean, I got to tell you a funny little story. We flew up there on Monday, went to the Giants practice, and we're making the picks the next morning. But we're gonna hammer this thing out Monday night. So, anyways, we go to practice around noon. We're coming back to the hotel. This is down in Times Square. We're walking back from a pizza place, and there's some other officers with us, PGA of America people. So Davis looks at me and he goes, "Hey, Hub," he goes, "how do you feel?" And I go, "You know, I'm a little full." And he goes, no. He goes, "I mean, are you nervous?" And I go, "Matter of fact, no." I said, "I'm okay. I feel good." And then I go, "How about yourself?" He goes, "No, I don't feel real good." You know, he was just nervous about these picks. And I said, "Okay." So, you know, I said, now it's my job to kind of keep him under control through about 7 o'clock tonight. But it actually ended up going to about late into the night, but he was still, he felt really good once he talked to the other assistants and some of the guys on the team. And then deep down inside, he really wanted all four of those guys on the team extremely bad. And he felt very good about it. And, you know, I can honestly say I threw in my 2 cents probably more than I should have, but it worked.
No, well, I tell you, he told me in front of a panel, in front of an audience at Wyndham, that the one part of this whole process that he was looking forward to the least was having to call guys and tell them that they weren't on the team. He said that's the part that's going to hurt the most, is to tell guys who could be assets to the team that they're not going to be a part of it this time around, because we have so many guys that are playing well. And inevitably, right, you know, those are private moments that, you know, don't need to be shared. But I'm sure that that was very difficult for him.
Oh, it was. It was in the same token, you know, when he called up the Dustin Johnson and the Brant Snedekers, you could, you know, it almost brought tears to his eyes to tell him. I mean, both sides, it almost brought tears to the Ricky Fowlers and Hunter Mahan's. And then the same thing, it brought tears to his eyes to tell Brant Snedeker and Dustin Johnson and the Jim Furyks. You know, it was kind of emotional, but it was good. I mean, it was, and I thought we had this. I mean, that Monday afternoon, all the way through the evening, watching the end of the tournament, running, crunching numbers, doing this, and we were trying our best to get him on the squad and get a couple guys on the squad, and it just came down to, man, we need another spot. We need another spot. But it was still, that was a tough phone call. But, I mean, both sides, I mean, they handled it like men and professionals. And Davis even said, I Davis even said after he hung, I mean, before he hung up with the guys, he says, listen, you got my number. If you, you know, in a half hour or 15 minutes, if you want to call me back and yell at me, feel free. You know, I'm here for you. So whatever. But he never got another call. So, you know, and that wasn't going to happen. But, he, you know, Davis is such a cool guy. And but I tell you what, that was a tough position. I mean, that's part of the deal.
Yeah.
Part of the deal.
Hubby, before we let you go, and we appreciate you taking giving us so much time, it's Arnold Palmer's 83rd birthday. Do you remember the first time you met the King?
Sure do.
Can you tell us about it?
Okay, this is a pretty good story. 1991, the PGA, I believe, was at Belle Reve in St. Louis.
Okay.
92, maybe. Nick Price won, whatever year that was.
Okay.
My first round, my first two rounds, my pairing was Ernie Els and Arnold Palmer.
Come
and
on.
I, holy cow. So, and, you know, I lived in Orlando, but I hadn't really officially met Mr. Palmer to speak of. So, matter of fact, I called him Mr. Palmer. Now I call him Arnold. And, after the 2 days, I had made the cut on the button. Ernie played terrible. Arnold had no chance of making the cut, even though he came up to me with nine holes to go, and he gritted his teeth, and he kind of yelled at me, and he goes, I am not going to shoot over par this nine. And, I mean, he's already like 20 over. And I, you know, I was shocked, and I looked into it, and I said, I believe you. You know, okay. You know, I kind of stepped back. So here's a guy grinding it out. So anyways, I don't know what he shot, but it was pretty darn good. And to top that off, after the round, I said, Mr. Palmer, I said, if I was to join a club down in Orlando, and at the time he had Isleworth and Bay Hill, I said, which one should I join? And he goes, Bay Hill, absolutely. And he goes, matter of fact, go see my secretary Monday, first thing Monday. So she'll set you up. And I go, oh, okay. That's easy enough. So anyways, I did. And you know, I went in there Monday and fixed me all up. And needless to say, he ran me a really good deal.
That's fantastic.
It's the best.
Obviously, you've played a lot of golf with him since then at Orlando. Because back then, he used to play every day.
Oh, yeah, he would, I mean, in the shootout, I mean, every day, the between, let's see, 11, 20 and whatever the amount, and, you know, 11, 20 to 12, 20 or 1 o'clock, depending on the size, but he played a lot, especially during the fall and winter months. He loved to play, loved to hit balls, and loved to hang out in the locker room after, see if he beat anybody, and, you know. It was unbelievable.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable. He did a couple other good things for me early in my career that had press to tell people on the air. But I mean, he basically stuck his neck out for me a few times, and I mean, in a good way. So I mean, I can't thank the guy enough, and he's still. You know, when I was growing up, I followed Nicholas until I met Mr. I mean, I followed Mr. Palmer, but until I met Mr. Palmer, I mean, staying alive, I'd do anything for that guy.
Yeah, that is terrific. And we wish him many more happy birthdays. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Hubby. Mike, we appreciate all the time you've given us. Travel safely. And I'll run into you in Atlanta, and I'll certainly see you in Chicago in a couple of weeks.
Yep, really looking forward to it, Johnny. And go USA, that's for sure. And, I mean, if, you know, tell people to watch it, and if they happen to get a ticket and come up, it'll be a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I've been to quite a few Ryder Cups, but this one's going to be one of the best.
I couldn't agree more with you. That's Mike Hulbert. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.